Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Very pleased to have you back with us.
I am happy to be amongst you once again.
Thank you very much. I expect you know that this is our first meeting in a new year, and it's our custom to wish everybody a very happy new year. We'd be rather pointless to include you in that. I think we should say a very happy new century, shouldn't we? From what you have told us.
I see you have not lost your wits whilst I have been gone.
We thought of you a great deal.
I too would like to bring you blessings for this your new earthly year.
Thank you, Simon, very much.
I know that amongst some of you, all in your lives have not been smooth or happy. But let me say this to you, my friends. Each step which seems a burden to you is a growth of spirits. Accept things as they come to you. Try to see that what I have taught you. Look upon the wider scope of life. Look beyond the days, the weeks, the months, the years of your earthly time. And you will go forth.
Yes. I think we have all grasped the need for that now. Aren't I right, everybody, in saying that we are aware of the need to look beyond time as we consider it.
Yes.
I know, my friends, that the lesson is being learned by you all. Slowly, but it is beginning to shine forth from you.
Good.
That my words to you are being ingested within. Forgive me, but I am feeling love which comes from you all, and for which I will be eternally grateful. My thanks to you all.
Thanks to you for your love and teaching to us. We value it enormously.
Within this But they are not excluded from this meeting of love.
Thank you.
I have received some of the thoughts from you, feeling that my absence seemed long.
Yes.
But of course, dear friends, it is but a moment in time.
Correct.
And I have to tell you that these times are much needed for me to retreat from whence I come.
Yes, we quite understand the need for that.
It is not done solely for my benefit, but because there is much that is going on within the cosmos.
Yes. And you are involved in that too, I know.
If it only was your earthly worlds, my task would be so much the easier. But time needs to be given to other matters sometimes.
Of course. Yes, we can't expect you to devote your time completely to us. You must accept that your experience, your knowledge, is very much in demand elsewhere. That's this we can understand.
I wish that I could enlighten you all on these other matters, but you would not fully comprehend them. Therefore, we will not waste precious time in my trying to do so.
Yeah, one day we may understand, if you are able to tell us, when we have more experience, but that's in the future. As you say, let us deal with the present.
Yes, that is what we need to look to. Now, my friends, I will answer any questions this time, and I will leave you to allow another to speak. But next time, I wish to, if it is acceptable to you all, to devote the evening to my teaching you.
We look forward to that, yes. Certainly.
Now, do we have your questions?
Yes, I have one, if I might, as usual, jump in first. You have told us, and we can understand, to some degree, that everything which we know as physical has, in fact, an etheric counterpart. I think you have also told us that the world itself has an etheric counterpart. Does this therefore mean that every individual upon this earth has an etheric counterpart occupying his or her place upon that etheric earth? In other words, are we duplicated?
I understand your question. I have to say, your summary is not quite correct.
Yeah.
But I know why you would assume this to me.
Yes, I have given it a lot of thought and I couldn't come to an answer myself.
I have told you that you are composite. You
yes.
are many, many parts.
You have indeed.
You are not single units. Indeed, in a sense, you may say that if all things have an etheric counterpart, then there must be an existence there in the next stage of life. Not quite so. Let me try to explain. If you look into your mirrors, what do you see?
Well, just the surroundings ourselves, of course, and the surroundings.
You see the image of your being.
Mm-hmm.
Although it looks like you, would you say it was an etheric counterpart?
Yeah. No. It has no existence.
No, but it can be seen.
Right.
So, try to imagine yourselves upon this earthly plane, that you have a physical existence. Although I have explained to you that there is a counterpart of the earth itself, it does not mean that everything physical must exist within that earthly counterpart.
I see.
It is like a mirror image.
Mm-hmm.
Can you follow me?
Yes, I believe I'm beginning to understand that. It answers the questions which were in my mind, certainly.
As you see auras around people, so you see these things around your planets, these energies. But it does not mean that all things exist in that next existence.
No.
Do you follow?
Yes, I follow you, and I also understand, and I think my colleagues will agree, that we shall never understand it, because looking at myself in the mirror, I would be, and I quite understand what you are saying to us, I would be inclined to say, well, that mirror image, that apparition which I can see, must exist by virtue of my existence.
Yes, you have got what I am trying to explain. By all accounts, that mirror image is real, is as solid as you yourself would feel. But of course it is not.
But it has no existence in its own right.
No, although it can be seen with your physical eyes. We are speaking here on difficult topics.
Yes, it is difficult to understand.
I don't think you will fully understand any explanation of energies which you do not at this particular moment in time understand upon your earthly plane.
Carry on.
I can tell you that the knowledge will come, that your scientists will begin to understand more on a cosmic level. But at this particular time in your existence, they know nothing of these things.
No.
So you see, I am trying. trying to explain subject to you which you could not fully understand. But I do understand your question, and I do understand the reasoning behind it.
Yes, because to take it one step further, I said that the image in the mirror only exists because I am looking at it, not in its own right. But on the other hand, one could say it does exist, even though we can't see it, until a mirror is brought in to give us the vision.
Let us take it a little farther. If you had tunnel vision through many mirrors, how many images of yourself would you see?
Right, it's unlimited.
It is unlimited, mm-hmm. And that is how you must view your question.
I see.
I hope that has been helpful to you.
It has, yes, thank you. Yes, we shall just have, well, I shall just have to leave it there, knowing that none of us can fully understand it at this period of our lives.
I have to say you do not.
No.
It is too complicated for your mind to understand.
Yes, because we haven't access to those energy fields yet.
Yes. It will come.
Good.
It will come.
It's interesting to look forward to. Thank you for your answers. Does anybody else have any questions for Sandimit?
Last question, please.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all?
Yes,
it's fine. Mm-hmm. Right. No, yes. We've made a decision to put in planning vision on the other side of land where we've been turned down on one side. Can you give me any suggestions for going forward? Please.
Yes. Always these everyday decisions tire you, cause problems within your lives. I would say to you to keep upon the desire which you have, to steadily pursue that which you so desire. It may not come about just as you would like it to. You may have to pursue it for some time to come. There will be obstacles, there will be obstructions, but finally you will succeed if the desire is good and if the desire is great enough.
Thank you.
I hope that is enough for you. But do pursue it. It will not be easy. There will be many obstacles to overcome.
Okay. Any more questions? Nothing, George?
I have been reading recently a lovely book by Swami Rama about the Swamis of the Himalayas. I think they understand life and death extremely well. And they refer to two paths towards bliss. A path of renunciation and a path of conquest in the material world. I think the Swamis usually follow a path of renunciation, but I think here in the material West we tend to follow a path of conquest. Is there anything you would like to tell us or teach us about the two paths?
Yes, I will speak upon this. Let me say, you can put your lives on this earth into many pathways, but I understand the peoples of whom you speak. They have indeed reached the top, I would say, of what living is all about. It is not beyond all of you to reach these goals whilst upon the earth plane. There is nothing to stop you choosing your own pathways, whether it be conquest, whether it be renunciation, whether it be submittance to your own souls. You follow me thus. What I would say to you, that each one of you, as an individual, must make that decision, must accept responsibility for his own chosen pathway. I will not say one way is right, one way is wrong. That I will and cannot do. But this I will say to you. If you give yourself up to that great one, that great creative force, I would say to you from my heart that I would not choose the pathway of conquest. I am not trying to tell you which way you should go, but that is my own feelings upon this matter. I say to you all, stop, think, judge not, and follow your hearts, and always you will tread the right pathway for your own soul's growth. The peoples you have spoken about have devoted much time in self-denial, in many aspects of daily living. They have developed those spiritual gifts which are innate in you all. They have not attained anything which is outstanding, but they have given themselves time to offer themselves, and that is why they have gone as far as they have done so. Is this helpful to you, my friend?
Yes, thank you for your words, and that is a very nice teaching. Thank you.
If I could add to that, I have given thought to this on a lower bit. I don't know anything about the Swamis, but I have come to the opinion over the years that self-renunciation, to be possible, is often dependent upon conquest. Because take the Buddhists, for instance, who go around with their begging bowls. If it were not for the farmers and their conquest of the land and their determination to produce seed from it, which is a conquest, then the Buddhists would be unable to follow their path of self-denial. So which is best? Again, I think it comes back to a question of motive. Why are we doing these things, or why are they doing these things? But those who achieve the higher attainments spiritually must of necessity rely upon those who are dealing in conquest, even if it is only the conquest of medical matters. Those who are seeking higher salvation must at some time, no doubt, have need to the doctor's resources.
I would like to say one thing.
Yes.
You know I am not in favor of names, of religions, of any titles being given to people.
I quite appreciate that.
You are all one and belong to that spark of life, which is that creative force. I would say about self-renunciation only this, to be careful that it is not the result of your own pride, which creates the renunciation within yourselves. This I would say, be warned upon, because too many see themselves as being great people, when in fact, when they are stripped of all human aspects, they stand naked before that great creative force. All of these things are laid bare. And only then can you see the truth of why all of these earthly... I am sorry. Are you okay?
Yes, thank you very much. I apologize for that. I couldn't stop it. Yes, thank you.
You need to look within.
Yes, again, as I said, motive, isn't it?
Always it will be the motive behind any action.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because of anything, those aspiring to a higher levels of existence and thought could be basing it upon the wrong premise anyway.
I would say only this, that they would not attain spiritual growth as much as they had if the motives were not good and genuine ones.
Correct.
So yes, keep this also in mind.
Yes.
When comments are made, because they would not achieve the results if the motives were not good.
The thought of that is thinker. Because it's a constant examination, isn't it? There's no one straightforward answer.
There will never be one answer to any question.
Yeah.
Never one answer. All of life on earth is a complex matter.
Right.
You can only achieve that ultimately which you deserve, because of course you are not living just this one life. As I have told you, you must be responsible for what has gone and what is to come.
Yes, that is the basic thing we have to learn, isn't it?
us to move away from this idea of being one single unit within one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You will never reach the heights if you try to stay with these fixed ideas. You must expand your minds. You must allow us to help you broaden your horizons, to allow the mind, not the brain, but the mind, to go beyond these earthly chains, and then, and only then, will you find a wider view of what life is about.
So it tends to be a fluid acceptance of things we cannot understand.
Dear friends, I must take my leave now.
Right.
And allow another to speak. But as I leave you to travel upon all earthly ways, I leave you with my blessing, my love, and my guidance within your daily lives.
Okay.
Thank you.
And our love and thanks go with you too. We're delighted to have you back with us.
When I leave you, my heart is
full. Thank you. Yeah. Last two.